Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 52, Episode 3 of Der Daily Zeitgeist for Wednesday, October 10th, 2018. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Zeit with the Zeit, da bang, da bang, daily, said O'Brien, said up, Jack O'Brien. That was courtesy of Hannah Soltis, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Miles be there for you when Trump does something wrong. Miles be there for you when they confirm Kavanaugh. Miles be there for you and the entire Zeit Gang, too. I needed a harmony there. But anyway, that is a Friends theme song. Shout out to Dragons or Down 1. And you said, I only started a Twitter account just so I could get an AKA shout out. Well, you achieved it. So well, consider your thirst quenched.
Oh, man. I was hoping for some of the clapping parts.
Well, you need the whole verse, you know. So no one done it. That's where that way. Not in the chorus, you know what I mean?
All right. Well, we're thrilled to be joined by the very talented visual artist, writer, and co-host of the Soft Spot podcast, Meg Malloy.
Hey, guys.
Hello. What's up, Meg?
I'm super psyched to be here.
We're super psyched to have you. Thanks for joining us. So we are going to get a little bit more into who you are in a moment. But first, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're going to be talking about. Today, we're going to be checking in with whether Taylor Swift accomplished anything by coming out and sharing her politics. Also, we're going to check in with the craziest meeting between a musician and a president since Elvis brought Nixon a gun while wearing a cape and tried to get himself hired as the head of the war on drugs, which wasn't a position. We're going to talk about the narrative that Republicans outmaneuvered Democrats in the Kavanaugh nomination, Nikki Haley's retirement, and the 12-year window we've been given to continue existing as a species.
Yeah, basically.
But first, Meg, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
This is a good one. The last couple of days have been trying to figure out how to get my kid to not be scared of public toilets.
Oh.
So I've been Googling toddler toilet phobia. Mm. So that's me.
So how does that work?
Apparently it's like a real thing.
It's just like a trust thing or it's unfamiliar. So
no, she just like won't do it. She stiffens her body and is like, I'll just hold it until I die.
Wow.
And apparently a lot of toddlers do that, but it's hard whenever you're out in the world and you don't want to just, you know, have to stop whatever you're doing and go home just so that your kid can use the toilet. But,
right.
A lot of kids have this problem and I'm just trying to figure out how to solve it.
So what
it.
Are the tips?
They're, There aren't very many good ones.
Oh, wow.
It's basically
make them go.
Yeah, no, it basically just talks about why they're scared, but I have yet to find any good tips.
Yeah.
So,
online parenting advice.
Yeah, I know.
Thumbs down.
Never anything good. I've never come across anything good or helpful.
Okay, well, if you have secrets, please Meg over here.
If
with
you
your
know
tips.
How to get your kid to use, it's specifically public toilets, which
yeah,
I kind of get
because
they're pretty gross.
I only do home team.
I was gonna say I know a lot of adults like that.
I'm home field advantage.
Yeah,
but that's only for number two.
Right.
Yeah.
I could pee anywhere, or
I
unless I'm
that.
In Japan, because public toilets in Japan are so clean. They're cleaner than my home.
Right.
So therefore, I'm comfortable there. But I think it's a cleanliness thing with. Some, I guess for me, but I don't know what for a child. Maybe I've just.
I
held
think
on
it's
to those
the
things.
Sound, the loud sound, but yeah, definitely, I'm scared of.
Oh, the flushing sound.
Yeah,
yeah,
not
it
a,
is intense.
She is not a fan of the flushing sound.
Some public toilets sound like a fucking jet engine.
Yeah.
When they flush.
I cover my ears when I'm in an airplane when I flush the toilet.
Yeah,
because I don't like it.
Yeah.
Since I was a kid,
it looks like it will suck your soul right out of your body.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's
through your butthole.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
that's how it
like,
happens. Right?
Wasn't that like a myth they used to say? Like as a kid, they're like, dude, you can't flush a toilet if you're
sitting
on
it.
It'll
yeah.
suck your butthole.
I
out.
Know somebody who like had their butthole turned inside out.
Right, like it looked like a windsock.
Oh, God. Sorry for getting so graphic. This
well,
early.
Hey, we're talking about facts. You know what I mean?
Is your daughter cool with other people's houses? Is it just public restrooms?
She's
or?
Not crazy about other people's houses,
right.
but she'll do it.
Ah.
She'll be like, this is a nice flush. She'll
right.
like ask me about what the flush situation is, but
right.
it's mostly public ones.
So the flush really is.
I think a lot of it is.
Wow.
I
get it though, man. You know, it's called potty training, not potties training.
Yeah,
she
totally.
She didn't learn to go on all these other toilets. So.
So maybe the advice is for in the future when you have young kids, get them trained on any number of models of toilet.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Just have like three next to
we're like,
each
you gotta
other.
Go? Hold on. We're not going there. We're gonna go to Dodger Stadium real quick. see what happens.
That's right. What is something you think is overrated?
You know what? This is probably not gonna be popular with the younger crowd, my age people, you guys maybe even, but I really hate social media.
Yeah,
I'm trying to be
sure.
better about it and engage more, but it just does not come naturally to me.
Mm.
Yeah.
A lot of people are so good at knowing when to engage and when to post, and they're just so good at it, and it seems so effortless, and I'm just not like, I don't know, not as good at it.
I think generally that is a sign of a mentally healthy person.
Thank you.
I think I will say that when it's a compulsion to like constantly post, I feel like mm-hmm. that's a mentally unhealthy thing.
Right.
Like, well, if you're forcing yourself to do it and like it's part of your career, I think that's good. But
right.
I generally think, I don't know. And I think I'm saying that as an introvert who doesn't post very much on social media.
I'm always so shocked when I'm sitting at like a restaurant or a bar somewhere and someone takes a picture of like their cocktail or their food before they even touch it.
Sure.
I'm like, it would never occur to me to have my camera ready to document whatever I was about to.
Yeah, well, I think social media like that, it's created this like feedback loop, you know, obviously where people just need the validation that comes from just seeing
right.
the heart thing light up and that feeds that behavior because then it's like, oh, this is a beautiful it has a hibiscus flower in it.
Right.
I'm definitely portrait mode on this shit all day.
Yeah.
And then all just to be like, I am having more fun than you.
I
yeah.
know.
Here's proof.
And it's like, how are you? You can't actually be having that much fun if you're constantly thinking about recording all of the fun that you're having.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I think for some people, that is how they experience fun.
Sure.
Is by, you know, turning their life into a reality show that they're editing and producing for the rest of the world.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, they probably experience it through basically. I wonder if people who are like that are able to just be like, okay, we're editing that memory out.
Yeah.
Like, you know, well, like, I didn't really experience that because it didn't happen on social media.
Do you know couples who have an entirely different existence on social media than they do IRL?
I don't.
Oh, yeah,
yes.
Definitely.
You don't?
No, I don't.
My God, I know people who you thought they were the new sitcom of the perfect millennial couple.
Yeah.
And then you get in a room with them and you're like, what
awful.
The? Who are these people?
Yeah.
Because on social
crazy.
Media.
They don't like each other? Or
hell yeah. Or just,
everything is perfectly lit and it's like throwback to this vacation.
Yeah.
And I've heard the saying, it's the highlight reel of your life. And it's true. And it's hard to keep that in mind and like participate in it and just achieve some kind of balance. Because for a lot of people, part of your job, you know, kind of requires you to be active on social media.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
I'm trying to do it without totally selling my soul, like missing out on actual moments that happen.
Sure. Yeah. It is a balance. I think if people are telling you like you have to be on social media, I think that's wrong. But if you like doing it and you have a healthy relationship with it, by all means, I know, you know, plenty of people on Twitter who use it as a joke writing mechanism, which works. But yeah, I think when you begin, and I kind of got into that when I was even on break in Europe and I was fucking on IG all day, Her Majesty, my partner, she was like, what the fuck are you doing?
Right.
And I was like, I felt a need to give people content. And then I was like, wait a second, let me just reevaluate sort of what the reasons I'm doing it. If it's for self-expression or am I requesting validation or like the, you know, the attention of others.
You should have been like, this skepticism is not going to play with my IG
I'm
fans.
Like, you know what? I'm going to flame you on IG. Guys, this is a hater.
Right.
Keep these people out of your life.
What is something you think is underrated?
This right here, Polar Seltzer.
Okay.
What?
I was reading.
Brought your own?
I know. I did.
Wow.
I love Polar Seltzer. I know everybody loves LaCroix or LaCroix or however you're supposed
it's
to say
it. It's called rat
There's,
insecticide.
Yeah, exactly. Pesticide spritzer.
Cockroach.
Cockroach. Oh, yeah.
But I love Polar. They have the weirdest, most.
May I see the can?
Yes. It's empty now. But they have the strangest flavors. I was just, they have one that's like Yeti Surprise. They have like, I know, they have like a mythical collection of flavors that just came out. And I'm just like dying over these.
Unnecessary.
Unicorn Kisses, Dragon Whispers, Yeti Mischief.
You appear to be drinking one called
Lemon.
Limon.
Oh,
I know.
Oh,
I went pretty basic in my flavor choice for today.
Right. What the fuck does Yeti Surprise taste like?
I don't know.
I would imagine urine.
They would have
some...
to tell you, right?
Because
they can't just be like, hey, Yeti Surprise.
Right.
Whatever the Yeti did.
Oh, maybe it's like that Dum Dum, that lollipop, where it like has the question mark on the outside. You don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah, or like the white Airhead.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
There's one. Oh, there's one called Pixie Lights and Minotaur Mayhem. I don't know.
And like Minotaur Mayhem is like, this is grapefruit.
Right.
Exactly.
But in
I'm
a way,
sure that it is. I'm sure it's some like plain flavor, but everybody loves LaCroix so much. It's become like such a thing. And I'm like, Polar is where it's at.
Hey, you know what? With flavors like that, I'm kind of digging the fact
exactly.
that it's so obscure. And even if it was just fucking orange.
Right.
I prefer Pixie, whatever the fuck they're calling
I know.
It.
I'm right. throw some Razzle Dazzle on that can and like give me a cool name. I'm into
right.
it.
All right. All right. Polar from Worcester, Mass.
Well, I mean,
hit us up.
LaCroix makes up their like imaginary flavors. Like, what's Pomplemousse?
Pomplemousse?
Yeah. Wow, that's crazy.
Is that a mousse mixed with a pom?
Some imaginary mythical type
words.
Of mousse.
Yeah. Never heard of it.
Finally, what is a myth? What's something people think is true that you know to be false?
Oh, man. This one really stumped me. I think probably I would have to go back to the social media thing and say that if your life looks good on social media or if you look happy,
that it is good.
That's not really necessarily an indicator of how happy or fulfilled you actually are.
Why don't you name names?
Yeah.
Who are you talking
about? No,
I'm honestly myself sometimes. I'm wow, I'm like...
No, that's easy. Get messy. Someone's handle so all the listeners can right now look this person up and go, yeah, you're fucked. This is a lie. I mean, I guess that's true to a certain extent, right? Because, you know, we have control over what our perception is vis-a-vis these things. So, you know, you won't always have the most honest post of like, feeling like shit today or whatever. You might
I know.
Be like, oh, well, yeah, I'm smiling.
Yeah.
It's a nice day.
Right.
What can you do? Just
right.
be honest, y'all.
Yeah.
Just be honest with yourselves. It's all good. We're there for you.
All right, let's talk about somebody who's a little too good at social media, and that is one Ms. Taylor Swift. Her Instagram's really good, like almost too perfect. But she posted on Instagram, Cody Johnson did like a whole blog post about this back in the day, and she really is just incredible at Instagram. Really has a great eye, or pays a photographer.
I wonder how much you make off of specifically doing Instagram to people.
That's such a job, isn't it?
I know.
I love it. I would love to.
I'm like, I don't want to make my cocktails look better than they are, but I'll do yours. Right. Yeah.
In service of your
ego.
I'll
lie about someone else's dinner.
I'm going to art direct your life, basically. Right. So Taylor Swift, as we mentioned on yesterday's episode, came out and explained where she's coming from on the political spectrum, and, you know, that she is concerned about LGBT rights and institutional racism and all sorts of things that her alt-right and white nationalist fans were probably not too excited to hear her talk about.
They described it as a betrayal.
Right. And
I haven't read about the blowback yet.
It's, I mean, all you need to know is I think because she never said anything, it allowed those people to believe, well, she's surely an insane racist like we are. And then when she came out and was like, systemic racism, I think people had, like, they just had meltdowns.
I won't lie. I was, like, kind of assuming that she was a Republican.
Yeah,
I was
too.
Like, who doesn't speak up with a platform like this?
Yeah. No, I think we all did. And that was it was nice to see that she used her platform in a positive way.
Yeah.
So the end of the post really directed people to register to vote. She posted on the last day for registration in Tennessee, and apparently that worked. She really drove up registrations among people who are in the age group that her fans tend to be in.
Yeah, because in the post, she's like, go to vote.org and, you know, figure out, like, your voting situation, get registered. Mm-hmm. And then they're reporting now that they had nearly 160,000 unique visitors in the last 24 hours since she posted. Their daily average was 14,000.
Wow. Right.
And then on top of that, they had nearly 65,000 registrations in the single 24-hour period since her post. And they said, just for context, that they had 190,000 new voters registered in the entire month of September, while 56,000 only signed in August. So she turned out more new registrations in 24 hours than they did in the entire month of August.
Right.
So, yeah, I guess she did move the needle, which is great. I mean, I think because she didn't.
I mean, she has, what, 100? How many million followers? 112 million.
Is that 112 million followers?
Yeah.
Woo! That's a lot.
That's
a
lot.
That is a lot.
We should aim for that.
Yeah.
That's a new goal. 112 million followers.
Life goals.
But yeah, I think it probably helped that she really did not use like partisan language in it. And just was like, although, hey, look, on the surface, clearly I'm progressive based on the shit I'm talking.
Right.
But I'm not going to say, hey, vote for the Democrats or vote against Republicans.
Right.
And hey, even if people registered that aren't voting for Democrats, at least they're getting engaged.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. And I think among the age group, I think 18 to like early 20s, they had more registrations than all other age groups combined by quite a bit.
Damn.
All in yesterday was a big day.
There you
for
go. Wake up, kids.
I know.
Wake
that's
up,
what
kids.
We need.
Time for
we
school.
We need more young people. Like, geez.
Meanwhile, the president has a lunch meeting planned with Kanye West and Jared Kushner. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't have too much to say other than that it seems weird that the president of the United States is sort of taking advantage of this prolonged manic episode and sort of dissolving of the sanity of Kanye West.
Yeah, he needs optics. He needs those good optics.
Yeah. Though.
He needs to hold a black man's hand for camera going to these midterms.
Right.
I
the
love everybody.
Whole Kanye thing just blows my mind. And that anybody is like, he's a free thinker. I'm like, no.
No, he's going through it right now.
Yeah,
something is wrong.
He needs meds. He needs understanding. This is just crazy.
I just feel like this would be the one time that Trump would meet with somebody, and afterwards he'd probably like look at Jared and be like, hey, he was kind of weird, right? That was weird. Right. Something different about him. Yeah. Like that even he would even be like, where's my friend Kanye?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would love though, you know, in my bizarro fantasy dimension I live in from time to time, I would love for Trump, this is an intervention. And he's like, look, my man, we're worried about you. People are worried sick about you. Let's get you on these meds. Let's get you back on your meds.
Well, that he was photographed in that like Make America Great Again hat that he redesigned and then the Colin Kaepernick sweatshirt.
Yeah,
it's like, this is not.
He's just having a lot of issues. We talked about this yesterday of like how this is shifting more and more into a situation where like, let's not make fun of Kanye time anymore. Like, oh, this guy's a fucking idiot. It's like,
I know.
This guy needs help.
He's sick. Yeah. And I think it's really sad that this is happening on such a public, large scale. So hopefully this draws attention to the mental health issue in America.
Right. Yeah, I mean, he'll have to embrace it too, I think a little bit, because he was always been like, I'm off my meds and I don't need them. And it's like, hey, you know, you have agency, but at the same time, let's know about the best way to take care of yourself.
Totally. Right.
Do you think he will bring the president a gift?
Because
you talk about Nixon and Elvis and how wild that encounter
Elvis
was.
Elvis showed up with a handgun and wearing a cape. That's just.
Was it loaded? No, right?
I don't know.
No, there's
no
way
so.
He could have had a loaded gun. But even a gun, forget if it's loaded or not. If walking into the White House is a power move.
Yeah, I think that's probably a no-go. I think somebody would probably intercept that pretty quickly.
So Elvis never took a drug that he wasn't prescribed. Mm-hmm. And so he like thought the Beatles were like, you know, ruining America with all their like hippie pot smoking LSD experimentation. So that's what he basically called the meeting, because he was so high that he wanted to talk to the president about other people
being
using
high
drugs.
Oh,
and being
God
more popular than him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, and wow.
He was like, come on, man, like make me the undercover head of the war on drugs type thing, and I'll like go undercover and rat out the Beatles. Oh, I'll rat out like all these other musicians. I'll go to like the next Woodstock and like, you know, I'll wear a wire. And Nixon was like, this guy's
he
out
was
of
really
his
selling him that
mind
shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Hey, I'm gonna rat out the Beatles. Do you think Kanye is going to like try and be like, hey, I hate Canadian rappers, bro? How do we get him out?
Right. Super producer Anna Hosnier pointed out that the only reason Nixon met with Elvis is because Nixon's daughter, presumably Nixon didn't know who the fuck Elvis was. Like, he's just been in a bunker just like licking his wounds from losing that election. So his daughter convinced him to meet with her, and he was like, well, this is the last time I fucking listen to you. But oof. I mean,
I just like the idea of him having to deal with high Elvis being like, here's this gun.
Right.
Now I'm going to be the fucking undercover guy on the war on drugs. I'm like, all right, please leave.
Yeah. So we'll see if Barron's making Trump meet with Kanye or if Kanye is.
Poor Barron.
Yeah. Just being used as a political prop.
Hey, but not if he gets a bunch of free Yeezys out of it, you know?
Right.
He can be the coolest kid in school again.
Right. Or maybe Kanye is just going to inform him that he's going to primary him in the 2020 election, because he's going to run as a Republican.
Wow, that would be dope. Just because he's like, I want to do the, you know, I'm about love.
Right.
I want to do the honorable thing and do it lovingly. I want to look you in your eye and tell you, brother, I'm going to run against you in 2020. I'm going to primary you, but I do it out of love.
Right. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. And so there's a narrative emerging on the right in particular. I was informed by my YouTube app on my phone thinks I'm like right wing because they're like, I've got a video for you today, Jack. Yeah. It's the latest Tucker Carlson hot take.
Oh, and man.
This morning's Tucker Carlson hot take was all about how the Democrats blew it on Kavanaugh and like how, you know, the Republicans outmaneuvered them. And I think it's just important because I was deep in that story enough to feel that way, right? Like,
yeah, like how did they get that one?
Right. And the truth is, given the proper context, it was always a Hail Mary that they would be able to defeat any Supreme Court nominee because the Republicans have the numbers in the Senate and they are willing to do anything necessary to get a Supreme Court nominee through. So, yeah, I mean, regardless of the... Yeah.
It's absurd.
Yeah, and I think this is tying into the overall idea that the hearing and the testimony of Dr. Blasey Ford and Kavanaugh that everybody watched, like, launched this huge backlash that the Republicans are going to be bringing. But, Miles, you were saying that, like, most people vote...
Yeah, you're angry. People that are angry vote. If you're complacent, you have no motivation to change your situation through voting.
Which is how we got here.
Yeah. Think about the attitude of the fall of 2016. Man, ain't nobody going to vote for this asshole.
Right. I know.
Cut to... Right. Well, and now we're in a situation where, my goodness, man, progressive people, liberals, women... All just people of color, they have an axe to fucking grind. And yes, again, polling shows that the Democrats are doing very well. But I think, yeah, definitely that because the progressive side took the hit in this hearing, there's even more, I think, energy behind it. And I think Republicans are just telling themselves that because they're looking at something off in the distance in the sea coming towards them. And it looked like some kind of a wave. We don't know how big it is, but something will happen. And I just don't like this idea. Like, the outmaneuvered thing, it's so clearly a way to try and paint this administration as getting a win.
I going know, into I hate it. That.
Because it was clear. It's like, you guys just made it very clear to any reasonable person that you really don't give a fuck about women, what women have to say, what
exactly.
That they could be telling the truth about anything. You're like, no. And Yeah, now you want to make it like, yeah, well, we got him in and we outmaneuvered them. And really, all you did
like
was
there
just
was so much strategy involved. Yeah. No. Mm-hmm.
The strategy was you have no moral scruples and you broke the rules.
Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah, congrats because you showed your ass. That's really all that happened. And I think that's just them trying to spin this like tragedy. It's a travesty and a tragedy. A tragedy like that.
Yeah. And overall, the fact that the story came out that he was probably a sex crim, overall, that made him less popular. It made him, it kind of heightened the support and enthusiasm among Republicans, but it made him less popular with swing voters and independents and Democrats. So,
yeah.
And yes, there appears to be a backlash to the Me Too movement, but that's nothing new. This just, I think, gave the people who are going to lash back about that movement an excuse to talk about it.
It's like, you know, if patriarchy is a virus, you know what I mean? It tries to fight off any antibodies.
That's right.
And that's all that it's doing is trying to thrash and survive. Because there's even that woman who posted like, here's my son. He's a sailor. Like that him too bullshit. And they're like, he refuses to go on solo dates anymore because of he's afraid that feminists with an agenda are going to try and accuse him of something.
Ugh.
Then the sailor himself comes out and goes, pause all of this, mother. My mom is wacky. She goes extra on the fucking social media. I've never said anything like this to her. And it just kind of shows you, again, there's this whole culture wars aspect of it, too, that just played out in front
and
of
also
everyone.
Like a generation gap, too. Yeah. Like, I think the people who are most concerned about the Me Too movement are people who are from a bygone era.
Yeah, where they pulled shit and they're like, ooh, I don't want people talking about how I used to behave.
Exactly.
Right. Or the, you know, no longer accepting the shit that I had to go through in some cases. So Nikki Haley is out. She has resigned as the UN ambassador. Which I don't know if it's a slow news day yesterday, but apparently this was a big surprise and it's like being treated as a huge deal. Maybe I was just underestimating how big a deal Nikki Haley was.
Well, she was pretty powerful when you think of our foreign policy as the UN ambassador, but you know, it seemed like she was a little bit hamstrung with Mike Pompeo and John Bolton becoming like figureheads in that part of the administration. So I think a lot of people are pointing to, like, is it because of that? Because she has less autonomy as a UN ambassador. Is it because she has financial woes, apparently, that we didn't know about? Or not woes, but she's trying to put two kids through college. You know, that $300,000 or whatever, $300,000 salary isn't cutting it. Or does she have eyes on something bigger?
Right.
I think it's a combination of many of those things. But from how everyone reports her moves as a politician, she's very keen and clever and does nothing impulsively. Everything is for a reason. And what was really struck me as interesting is that her resignation wasn't just like one of those things where you see a tweet get fired off and they're like, yeah, this person resigned. And then usually most of these people are like trying to sneak out the back door, hoping nobody ever noticed that they worked there.
Uh-huh.
But this was like a big to-do thing. They were in that White House and sitting next to each other and they were like, oh, she's the best. And she was saying, oh, we've done so much for foreign policy. It was like a love-in.
Right.
And like not even Trump's nurse, Hope Hicks, got that kind of sending off when she left. Like where, I mean, granted, he did say a few words, but this felt very official. And like, it was just like, well, this is a real conscious uncoupling that we're doing.
Yeah. Apparently, her approval rating is as high or higher than basically anyone else in the government. She's, I think they said 63% of American voters back in April approved of her job performance versus only 17 who disapproved. And, you know, the Trump is always, you know, generally 7 to 12 percentage points underwater in similar statistics where, you know, over 50% of people disapprove of his performance. And usually it's right around 40 who actually approve. So she's just way more popular than he is, and so I don't know if this is a bad thing. She also broke with him on different things, like his reaction to Charlottesville. There was some other things where she, I think the way he handled the North Korea situation. Oh, his Muslim ban, she was not like on board with that. And also the fact that he's just generally pushes back whenever they try and sanction Russia. She's not a fan of that.
Yeah.
So just like rational things.
The pretty big ones.
Yeah, you know, the big ones.
Yeah, I mean, I have a feeling she wants to run for higher office. People are saying maybe she's going to go into like bigger, you know, private industry lobbying. She's definitely going to the private sector for now. But is it that she also has eyes on Lindsey Graham's Senate seat? Because if there is that midterm shakeup that they're talking about and Sessions is out, and then Lindsey Graham's basically been auditioning for the last like 2 months, just completely throwing what little bit of character he had left like into the trash, becoming a full-on Trumper, that, you know, she's from South Carolina, she was the governor, maybe she'll take over his seat. Maybe she really does want to run in 2020, and she maybe knows that this, maybe I'll get away from this sinking ship before I fully burn up with
right.
it. I there's so many things that we don't know. One thing I did realize, though, I had no idea that she was an Indian American Sikh woman.
Oh, yeah.
That she, her real name is Nimrata Randhawa. And I had no idea because she passed this whole time. I had no one, like, I don't think I'd ever heard her speak about it. But yeah, that was a very interesting thing I learned.
Where'd she get Nikki Haley from?
She was called Nikki just growing up.
Right.
And then that's her last name's through marriage.
Oh, through marriage.
Yeah,
huh.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Super producer Anna Hosni, I just brought up a picture of her in, you know, full Indian garb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's surprising.
You think
that
a
really
woman of
surprising.
Color would be a little more vocal in that administration.
Right.
But, you know, it's, you got to toe the line in that party.
Her opposition to the Muslim ban makes a little
makes
more
a
sense.
Lot more sense. Yeah.
Yeah. A little more from identifying with immigrants, you
right.
know, coming from an immigrant family. But yeah.
Yeah.
We shall see. The thing I would really love, though, is that she's playing Trump. She's like, oh, I'm going to fucking primary you in 2020, but I'm going to play you so good. You're going to give me this beautiful send-off. So in MAGA world, I'm still a hero character.
Right, right.
And when 2020 comes.
But she's away. Yeah.
Yeah, she's
kind
like.
Kind of playing both sides.
Yeah, she's like, I see where you're. I see where this is going.
Yeah.
And you might not even make it to 2020, my man.
Right.
And then I'm gonna come in with the broom and sweep up the ashes.
And you said,
I don't know, that's my Game of Thrones version.
Both of her parents are Indian immigrants?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They
wow.
they emigrated to Canada first and then settled in South Carolina.
Huh.
Yeah.
All right. Well, in less good news, I don't know why that was good news, but scientists.
Well, she's a war hawk, you
yeah.
know. It helps. But yeah.
Scientists are giving us 12 years to do something about climate change.
Yeah.
And not really even. They're like, it's pretty bad already. Like,
yeah.
we're kind of fucked already. But we have 12 years before it is, you know, existentially, like, you know, if we don't fix this, we're all going to die.
Yeah. Because that whole threshold, you know, of going between 1.5 to 2 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial global temperature is sort of like they're saying, you know, that's our tipping point.
Right.
And they're saying as we stand in the path we have in 40 years, it's going to be lights out, guerrilla radio, irreversible climate change, basically. But if we act within the next 12 years to drastically reverse our carbon emissions, that there's a chance to keep it between 2 and 1.5 degrees Celsius change, which is that window that we can't really pass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think originally they thought it would be 3.2 would be the point of no return.
Right.
And now based on the stuff they're seeing, it's closer to 2 degrees Celsius.
Yeah.
I just can't believe that anybody is doubting that this is an actual problem at this point.
Yeah.
Or like just the level of threat that this poses to civilization and just humankind.
Yeah. Oh, I think it's overwhelming to just tell if as an individual you hear this and you're like, will I take a usable bag, reusable bag to the store and I have
right.
a hybrid? What else can I do? And you're like, yeah, see, the issue is they do a good job of making us, the regular people, the consumer, like it's our responsibility.
I know.
When really it's the industries themselves that need to sort themselves out.
Right. But they're saying that the biggest threat is going to be to insects are really fucked once, you know, the habitat changes.
Right.
2 degrees Celsius. They're saying that insects would lose more than half of their habitat. Which
the bee population.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of count on them for a number of useful things.
Yeah. And that with like, and also just having summers where there's no Arctic ice and things like that. What's interesting about this, though, too, is how underreported this study was. You know, Media Matters sort of did an analysis of like the top 50 in U.S. newspapers and who had it on their front page or who had it on their homepage as a story. And only 22 out of 50 publications had it,
God,
like
it
on their homepage.
It should be everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, I do worry a little bit like with my own kid. I'm like, I don't want to scare her, but I also want her to make as many choices as she can to live a life that, you know, sustainability. I am vegetarian. Mm-hmm. My kid's vegetarian because I do feel like industrialized farming is definitely a big part of it. But God, I feel like it should be everywhere. It should be something that we're thinking about all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's odd, too, when they look at some of the cities that didn't report it, 10 of them are on the list of the cities that will be most affected by climate change.
Yeah.
Like their own papers aren't reporting it. And I don't know if that's a burying your head in the sand thing or the owners of the paper have ties right. to the fossil fuel industry. So that's just that's just shit they don't talk about.
Right.
But yeah. I mean, it's like
it's tough to face. Yeah. But we need to. Yeah. Yeah.
When scientists are literally waving their hands in the air and be like, yo, fucking 12
panic
years.
Mode,
or
yeah.
like, you know, we've been able to kick the can down the road. But now we're really saying, like, what the fuck are we going to do?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What's that like for you guys as parents? I always think about that, too, of like, because 20 years from now, right, if we keep fucking up, that's irreversible.
Right.
right.
And you're looking at a world where the fucking summers are never ending. Forest fires keep happening. The superstorms keep happening.
Yeah.
And like you say, you want your child to know or be aware that they can have an effect. You know, do you want to tell your kids about this? Do you want to be like, yo, the fires could consume us? I don't know. Like,
I think it is kind of a, I mean, it's never not scary to be a parent, but right now, like, teaching my little girl, I mean, she's too young to really get into it.
Sure,
but
sure.
When she gets a little bigger and I have to explain this whole Kavanaugh thing to her and how her experiences do matter and she should always speak up and she should not worry about being ridiculed, things like that, you know, the climate change thing, it's just like a lot. And you don't want to overwhelm your kid, but you also want them to grow up with some level of awareness.
Sure.
Like, you know, what they're really facing, you know,
yeah.
in the world today.
Yeah. We just keep like a low level of background noise of Mad Max films on.
Yeah, yeah.
Every time we're just in.
And Roland Emmerich disaster flicks.
Yeah.
They're like, just, all right, y'all seen 2012?
Yeah. So he should be prepared.
No. That he's learning how to make his own homespun clothing.
Right.
He's going to be a yeoman farmer.
Yeah. No, it's really frustrating and it makes me super angry because these are. Also, a lot of the politicians who are doing this have kids, have grandkids.
Right.
I know. I think just, about that
it's
often.
Like, yo,
I'm like, how do you face your kids?
Right.
Well, they probably have a secret club
right.
for like a spaceship that everyone's going to fuck off to.
Yeah. They're like, it's cool. We're just going to blast you off into this thing. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
We've got this
Elysium.
Super cool bunker ready for you.
yeah.
So right. you don't need to worry about these normal people.
Yeah. They'll rip each other apart on the surface. We will be happier underground.
Right.
Like that Ben Folds 5 song.
All right. Yeah. They're probably talking about that Ben Folds 5 song, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's a deep cut, but yeah.
All right. We're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back, and MBS, the Saudi leader who...
Crown Prince.
...toured the world, and that there were articles. There was an entire magazine that was published by Trump's homie, David Pecker, about just what a...
What a mensch this guy was. Yeah, what a good dude. He's a real woke new leader.
Yeah, that I saw in my grocery store aisles. It's like, yeah.
And you notice how there's no ads. I think we were talking about that too. Wow, yeah. A magazine that had no ads in
it?
Yeah. That must have cost a decent amount.
Yeah. So anyways, we always suspected that maybe he wasn't as, woke and chill as he was trying to come off during his world tour. And... we're starting to see some of the strongman tactics come out, and the fact that he is part of this movement around the globe that is like strongmen coming to power and, you know, staying there via violence and abuses of power.
Yeah. He was very quick to lock up people who had anything even remotely negative to say about the regime or any of the policies. And this newest incident is definitely an escalation of sorts. So there is this Saudi journalist named Jamal Khashoggi who wrote for The Washington Post and many other outlets, and was a very vocal critic of Mohammed bin Salman, which would have made him a target. But apparently on last week...
He lived
week,
in Turkey.
Yeah, that's
in
Turkey.
If he lived in Saudi Arabia, he would have been fucked. But he lived in Turkey, so...
Yeah. Yeah, to be like, yo, you can't touch me over here. Right. But apparently that wasn't the case. So he went into the Saudi consulate last week to get some papers filled out so he could marry a Turkish citizen, but he never came out.
Yeah.
There's video of him entering the building. He's never left, and he's been missing ever since. And many people are like, yo, they fucking killed him in there. They kidnapped him in there. Something is going on.
Yeah.
Because suddenly this guy walks into the consulate and is out.
Yeah.
And the Saudi government, they're like, oh, no, we don't know her. He left. Like, they're really acting stupid about it. And then Turkish President Erdogan is like, I need evidence. They're saying that they will search the building now. They don't know if there's going to be like a forensic sort of analysis or study investigation of the crime scene. But, you know, this is nothing new. But this is just another example of how, you know, how things are working over there. And this just seems very, very aggressive, because I think in the past there have been Saudi princes who have been in other countries who have been just sort of taken away back to Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
But this is like this just seems like a whole other level, where we're talking about a man came into a building and then never left.
Yeah.
That's a pretty bold thing to play stupid about.
Yeah.
Right.
It's crazy.
This has been, you know, groups like Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch have been on top of Mohammed bin Salman, but like, it's very hard to know what's actually going on, because there's never really accurate numbers from the Saudi government.
Right.
They suspect that as many as 30 people have been detained since May, just in May. Some people have been released, But then there are many more that they arrest people who they say have alleged ties to Islamic extremist groups. But everything is so murky that they still don't really know. What they do know is that if people are speaking up, they typically end up in prison or worse.
Right.
The U.S. hasn't really said much aside from, like, I think Trump was like, I've read some things. I don't like what I'm reading.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's, again, I mean, we just have a very real buddy-buddy relationship with Saudi Arabia that, you know, first off sprang from our desert thirst for crude oil. But as, like, you know, it's turned into this relationship where we'll just turn a blind eye because we need them as a strategic ally in the region. Right. And they'll continue to push the boundaries a little bit. But yeah, I mean, for all the times that Trump wants to complain about, like, human rights violations and things, I mean, like, look right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And super producer Nick was pointing out that, like, his media blitz included, like, him meeting with Bill Clinton, Rupert Murdoch, Oprah Winfrey, took selfies with movie stars. And there was a New York Times op-ed writer, I forget which one, where he was like, MBS is the future of this country, or is like, you know, talking about all these wild, like, crazy ideas he has, and that he was going to, like, open the first movie theaters and let women drive. And,
He, like, arrested a bunch of women right before the ban was lifted because they were still had something to say about it.
Right.
It's just, yeah. I mean, it shows you. It's like the kind of the shit Paul Manafort does is like,
right.
Hey,
that was what we have your image. That's what Manafort's whole thing. So first he came to Washington, made lobbying like the number one business in Washington, as opposed to when it was just like a thing that politicians would employ here and there. Suddenly, like, after Manafort got through with it, it was the most important thing was to have highly paid lobbyists who would look out for your interests. And then he went abroad and started doing that for, like, people with war crimes, you know, yeah, like complete monsters. He would, you know, use these media tactics to whitewash these guys' reputations. And he was successful at it because our system is generally, like, too clouded by things that interests besides what is actually true.
You what a good magazine spread will do.
It's corruptible
for people's public perceptions, or that people will just be like, "Oh, well, he was in a magazine." I think
I can't believe people named him the sexiest man alive this year. It's crazy. I did not see that coming. So I wanted to check back in with the microwave theory about U.S. diplomats because,
here comes there that conspiracy.
Is.
So tell people what you think is going on.
Well, so
lay it out
Cuba,
for us.
In Cuba, like right at the start of the Trump administration, diplomats started complaining of nausea and headaches and hearing these like loud noises, and they started speculating that it was some sort of covert attack from some unknown weapon that, you know, our military had not scientifically discovered, like didn't know was possible, because all like the way the incidents were described, it would have to be like sound waves, or, you know, it was more recently speculated that microwaves could do this because microwaves at the right frequency can cause like a clicking to hear like a clicking in your ear. But I've from the start, just based on having read a lot about like mass hysteria, and I think they're called socially caused illnesses or something, but basically I've always thought that's what was going on. And so once the New York Times wrote this article about how microwaves were a possibility, this huge community of conspiracy theorists jumped on board and were like, yeah, see, we've been talking about this from day one. So there's this huge community of people who claim about 4,000 different members across the United States.
What do you call yourselves?
They call themselves
they
believe they're the objects of secret electronic attacks, and there's a worldwide association called Freedom for Targeted Individuals. So they all think that the government is like beaming them with microwaves attacking them wherever they go. Mm-hmm. But because there's this because because these diplomats claim that are starting to claim that like they must have been microwave attacks. It's given fuel to this fire of conspiracy.
Because they can go see.
Right. That's right. So they started taking out. There's this one creepy billboard near Phoenix, Arizona, where it says contract stalking and electronic assaults. These growing crimes are not being stopped. Inform yourself. Share, demand change, freedom for targeted individuals. So they call themselves targeted individuals. A 2016 study by a guy named David James found that of 1,040 people who reported being stalked in a survey, the 128 who said they were stalked by a group or a gang were all likely delusional. So that's a thing, like one of the creepiest and saddest type of YouTube videos that you can find are people who think they're being stalked by gangs.
Group stalking.
That's really sad.
And they're like, see, that was the third time that person walked by today. And it's like, that's your neighbor.
You're paranoid.
Yeah.
It sounds like some Kanye shit, honestly.
Right. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
They have billboards?
Yeah, they're putting up billboards.
Do they explain like, oh, well, I worked on this thing, that's why I'm being targeted, or I worked with this politician, or like, I know this secret about a bank?
Yeah.
Or is it just like...
Is there any reasoning, or they just think they've been selected to be followed? Or
I think they just they've been selected. I'm sure some of them
or
have
maybe in their minds they
others.
Have a reason to. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah.
Well,
the visual I get in my head is of literal microwaves shooting like laser beams at people from the sky.
Yeah,
I like that.
Just floating microwave. Just
like that, old screensaver. Remember After Dark? There's the toaster with wings screensaver.
Yeah.
Nope. Anybody?
The
Am
one
I the
that
old?
Went like
it was just like
up and down.
It was just like toasters. Yeah. I imagine the microwaves with wings. Updated version.
But these groups, because. Like, these used to be isolated individual people, you know, the people who were paranoid and thought they were being stalked. But now social media has allowed them to, like, create support groups and find one another.
And enable it even further.
Yeah, and now they're getting, like, legislation passed. There's, in 2015, the city council in Richmond, California, passed a resolution that decried, quote, stalking by space-based weaponry in solidarity with these, quote, targeted individuals.
I'm sorry, what, Richmond? You signed legislation that had the word space-based what? What?
Yeah, space-based weaponry. They thought they were being stalked by space-based weaponry. You know, they just heard from probably a handful of constituents or, you know, one member of this group got to, you know, three other people who were like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
Right.
Wow, legitimizing paranoia.
Yeah,
basically.
I mean, it's the same thing that is happening with, you know, anti-vaxxers and shit like that.
So do you think, like, the legislators are just like, you know, honestly, like, what? It's not going to change anything for anyone if we sign this into law. They're like, let's just fucking do it so they leave us alone. Or do you think that the people were actually like, no, I believe this is important?
I don't think anybody probably believes it.
No, I don't think any of the people on the city council probably believe it. There, you can get anything passed through a city council. They'll just be like, all right, anyone object? Passed.
All right.
Moving on to the next thing on our docket.
The Zeit Gang is now hereby recognized as an actual gang.
Right.
Perfect.
But yeah, so I don't know. That's something I didn't know about, was that targeted individuals was something to look out for. This is from a writer at BuzzFeed News, Dan Vergano, who is even more on this this whole thing is bullshit tip than I am. And I've been on that like from day one. But he's like, this is definitely mass hysteria.
Right. So what do you guys call your group? BuzzFeed?
Yes, BuzzFeed.
It's called BuzzFeed.
For the buzzing
in my ear, yes. And is feeding my paranoia.
I don't know why I'm getting... I'm saying no conspiracy.
Yes, I know, Jack.
Leave me alone! Miles, you and your group that have been
Target
stalking.
Is in the building. Target is wearing a black polo shirt. What?
Yeah.
What's that? Pizza Hut and Cinnabon?
That's what I said.
That is what you said.
You can hear the words being read.
No, Jack, I'm not feeding information into your head via microwave, but that was a really hard pivot in the paint, and we call that Pizza Hut and Cinnabon are joining forces. Now, we like to talk a lot about junk food on this show because it's our roots. It's in our DNA to eat the food of our people.
Yes.
White America. Now, yes, Cinnabon. I don't know anybody who doesn't like Cinnabon.
Neither do I.
You might not eat it all the time or seek it out, but I've never met someone who's like had it or says, I don't like Cinnabon.
Right.
And if you do, fine, whatever.
I don't like the taste of Cinnabon.
Yeah, like, yeah, how could you not? And that's how I know I'm a true red-blooded American patriot.
Yeah.
Because I love Cinnabon.
There's nobody who's like the anti-cilantro people who are like, this tastes like soap.
Yeah.
I'm definitely one of those people.
Are you right. Cinnamon or cilantro no. tastes like soap?
I am.
Wow.
It's like poison to me.
Yeah.
Like, I cannot.
It's a genetic thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's a gene that you have? Well, anyway.
There are people who hate almost everything, but not Cinnabon. Because,
oh, that's true, because it's delicious.
Yeah.
It's sugar and butter
and
bread.
Ride for Cinnabon till the day I die.
It is the height of... That's a thing. There's this book, Salt, Sugar, Fat, that's all about the engineering of, like, American
death food.
Yeah. And it's just, like, it really is the height of scientific discovery, like, merged
with consumerism.
It's like
a diabetes booby trap.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. They are just targeting specific parts of your brain. They're testing mouthfeel. And
yeah.
So Cinnabon is, I think, Cinnabon, Coca-Cola, and nacho cheese Doritos are, like, the three perfect
universal
foods that are just, like, we're hopeless against.
How
these
long
foods.
Do you think you could last on a diet exclusively of Doritos, Coca-Cola, and Cinnabon? Before your doctor goes, I'm sorry, like, you have to stop this.
You know what? I like Doritos, but I love the Dorito Loco Tacos.
Yes.
That's what I'm talking about.
Well, I mean, now you're talking about vegetables.
There's salad in there.
We're fundamentally messing up this experiment. Right? We're talking about Doritos, Cinnabon. My question is, and I was writing this in the doc, I feel like every person has either worked at Cinnabon or knows somebody who has worked at a Cinnabon.
Oh,
at
for
some
sure.
Point.
Yeah.
For me, it was Allie. My homegirl, Allie, she worked there and used to hook me up crazy. She would even give me a bag of the icing.
I know. How did we not get all of our friends that worked there fired? I worked a bunch of mall jobs, and I remember my friend Lindsay would be like, here's a couple cups, the tester cups full of icing.
Woo!
And I was like, I'm ready to take on my 8-hour shift. Woo!
Snack on that.
I'm so high!
Yeah, but now, anyway, so if you're interested now, Pizza Hut. Now, you know, it's not my favorite pizza, but I like their buttery ass crust. That is a plus for Pizza Hut. $5.99, 10 mini buns.
Not
it's
a
all
fan.
There.
Wow.
Not a fan of Pizza Hut. So you'll just call the
my
call,
least favorite.
Call more than Papa John's.
Yeah.
What?
I like it less than Papa John's.
What the fuck?
I don't
just
like Pizza
happened?
Hut. Man.
I haven't had Pizza Hut in a long time.
You don't like Pizza
time.
Hut? You like Papa John's more than Pizza Hut?
I mean, I just dislike them.
They're
both
garbage
equally,
to you.
But I will, like, if there's. If I'm at, like, a, you know,
a
meeting, a function, and they've got, I would be less excited that they had Pizza Hut. Than
what
Papa
about
John's?
Domino's? Where do you
I
stand
love Domino's.
On Domino's?
Domino's
yeah.
is our favorite
pro
fast food.
Domino's podcast.
Okay.
I love Little Caesars, too. Not the best pizza. It's more for sentimental value. That's funny that you don't. See, I like the pan pizza
I think
from
it's their marinara
Pizza Hut.
Sauce.
Oh, really? The sauce doesn't even register because that fucking crust is so buttery, just oily that I'm like, yes. But that's, we all know that.
I love the Pizza Hut experience, like how they used to have it, like a pizzeria where it was like a salad bar and you could get the pitcher of Coke and stuff. That was dope. But I just think they need to work on their marinara sauce.
Wow. Or those big red plastic cups that used to be in all those restaurants that were like
frosted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Coca-Cola emblazoned on them.
Yeah.
Oh.
But anyways, I now have a reason to start ordering Pizza Hut because, they'll bring you Cinnabon.
Cinnabon. I like you respect the name, the pronunciation.
Yeah.
This is such an off thing, but do you remember the sketch that was like goth talk on SNL that was Molly Shannon and Chris Kattan where they were like two goth people?
Yes.
And didn't Chris Kattan's character work at Cinnabon? I feel like he was like, I had a bad shift at Cinnabon. It was like one of the lines he said. That to me showed how no matter what, Cinnabon touched us all.
Yeah.
It is universal.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
It's crazy that the icing came in bags. I'm just thinking back on that because it did come in like a
pre-made,
like the sort of bag that like caulking like mix comes in. Anyways. So wait, you're saying that Pizza Hut will now offer Cinnabon?
It's part of their delivery offering now.
Jesus.
So you can really just never leave the house.
That is a no-brainer because like all these different pizza places have been offering, and by all these, I mean Domino's, have been offering, like,
I know, I was going to say, you're talking about Domino's.
They always offer you the dessert. And the cinnamon sticks, like, why the fuck would I want your dessert?
Right.
Like, that's just your breadsticks with, like, sugar and cinnamon on it.
Like, you're not fooling me with this. You have recontextualized your dough.
Right.
Into be a dessert.
Right.
I'm just looking at what else they offer there. Cinnasticks.
At Cinnabon?
No. At Domino's.
They don't have the full menu?
No, they do. So at Domino's, the dessert, they have cinnamon bread twists now. Not Cinnasticks anymore. Domino's marbled cookie brownie. Oh, okay. And chocolate lava crunch cake.
Yeah. But, I mean, think about how smart that is. Like, if they just, like, got something that was branded by fucking Oreo, like, or Auntie Anne's or
exactly.
something.
Exactly.
Auntie Anne's. Yeah. Pizza Hut got the Kingfish. They got the Cinnabon. That's,
yeah.
You can't fuck with Cinnabon.
Domino's
has
Krispy Kreme or something.
Yeah, Krispy Kreme.
That would be crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, that would put them over it for me, because I do love Krispy Kreme.
Yeah. But the franchise wars have begun.
Or like one of those cupcake companies that people like so much. All right. Well, Meg, it's been a pleasure having you.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Where can people find you?
On the social media that I'm trying to get better at. I am not super active on Twitter. I'm the worst. I just got a Twitter this year.
Sure.
I'm mostly a lurker.
Yeah, there you go.
Use it as a news source.
Shout out to the lurkers. I always love seeing people with accounts with zero tweets. Like, hey, lurker.
No, every once in a while, only really when something makes me mad, like when Trump does something crazy or this Kavanaugh thing, that's when you'll hear from me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm meg.malloy on Instagram. I'm way more active on there, or I at least try to be. And I am moo moo meg on Twitter.
There you
moo
go.
Moo
yeah,
meg.
Moo moo meg. Right.
And is there a tweet that you've enjoyed in the past couple of days?
Not for positive reasons, but okay. I did want to bring up the Trump's Christopher Columbus tweet.
Oh,
his spirit of determination and adventure has provided inspiration to generations of Americans. On Columbus Day, we honor his remarkable accomplishments as a navigator and celebrate his voyage into the unknown expanse of the Atlantic Ocean.
He crashed into America, motherfucker.
Wow.
He's a genocider.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like... What a euphemistic description.
Wow, right? So that blew me away pretty hard. That's pretty nuts.
He's like, why does that director get a day? Chris Columbus? Oh, no, not him, Donald.
Miles, where can people find you?
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. A tweet I like is from Auntie Donahue. And it's a quote tweet, retweet of a Page Six article. It says, like, it has a picture of Liam Neeson. It says, Liam Neeson says horse in new film knew him from another movie.
Wait, what?
What?
And then it just said, this is the love story our generation deserves. I don't even know what that means. Just the idea that Liam Neeson would have been like, this horse recognizes me from Rob Roy or whatever the fuck.
Pretty good Liam Neeson.
You know, I just go off top. I just have to look at a photo and try and become him.
Yeah. You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. A tweet I enjoyed is from Rob Delaney, who quotes Donald Trump Jr. tripping over baby elephant and lion skulls as he struggles to pull his true religions on to run to his treehouse to yell at Taylor Swift online. Thought that was an evocative image that was probably happening somewhere. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. You can also find that information in the show notes. Miles, what song are we going to ride out on today?
Let's go out on a track from Lion Babe. This track is called Rockets. And again, this is a jam to get your big toe jumping and your hips humping and pumping. No, that sounds weird. Just dance to this in your car and have a great day.
All right, we're going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. We'll talk to you then.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah. Bye, like I'm ship the rocket. Got me feeling high. On my spaceship, I'm rocking. Falling to the sky.
Right, gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at CedarPoint.com.